Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is the day of Pentecost. So that is one of the seven feasts that God commanded in Leviticus chapter 23 to be celebrated each year. Sometimes in the New Testament era, we forget about the feasts. Now, some of them did have different meanings in the Old Testament, but really we can tie each feast to our Lord Jesus Christ, and even coming to the day of Pentecost today, you can see there, it is feast number 4, and on that day we think about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and I mention here about Jesus, but if we look carefully in the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit comes from God the Father to Jesus, and then from Jesus, the Holy Spirit is poured out. So we can say the Holy Spirit did proceed both from the Father and the Son, but he came from the Father to the Son, and then to the Son to you and me. We're going to talk more about that today. We're also going to talk about the topic of love, as Jesus will address that here in John chapter 14. As we get into John chapter 14, keep in mind, we are going backwards now chronologically. So we are back before Jesus laid down his life, John chapter 14. We are in the upper room on the day that Jesus did finish his saving work. And Jesus is going to share some very important things with his followers. So John 14, picking up in verse 16 here. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you." So this idea of another helper, well, Jesus, he had been right there with them for 3.5 years, helping the disciples in all kinds of important ways. But Jesus is indicating that I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to send you another helper. And then he's indicating to them that with this helper, he's not going to be with you in the same way I was with you, but really what he tells them is he's going to be in you. If you think about from the creation of the world all the way up to the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, during that time, the Holy Spirit was at work in the world. He was at work, we could say, upon people, but he was not living in them. But Jesus was saying, on this special day that is coming, Jesus was saying that on that day, the Holy Spirit is no longer going to be working upon you, but he's going to take up residence in you. So that's a very wonderful thing that was coming. What is true for us today? Oh, when we believe in Jesus by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is living within us. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And then going on, Jesus said, picking up in verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. After a little while, the world no longer is going to see me, but you are going to see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day," talking about the day of Pentecost, "you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you." So Jesus mentioned here about how they're not going to be orphans. So we know if there are children, and now the parents are gone, if the parents have left them, or if the parents have died, now they are orphans. But Jesus is saying, hey, you guys aren't going to be orphans. I'm going to leave you in one way, but I'm going to come to you in another way, is what he's talking about. That's why they're not going to be orphans. So Jesus, if we think about it like this, Jesus had been with them physically, helping them, blessing them, teaching them in so many ways. But what Jesus is saying here, he is saying that in the future, on the day of Pentecost going forward, not only is the Holy Spirit going to be in you, but I am going to come and take up residence in you. Jesus wants us to know that too, that not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but even Jesus himself has come to dwell within us. And then Jesus gets into the topic here of love. So he said, "The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him." Did you catch what he said there? So it's one thing to have what Jesus commanded, and then it's another thing to keep or to do what Jesus commanded. We want to be so careful that we don't just know what he said, but we want to put it into practice. So really what he's getting at here, if we know it and we don't do it, we're indicating that we don't love him, but when we put it into practice, we're indicating that we do love him. Just like God, the Father, he loved us, so what did he do? He gave his Son to be our Savior. What about us? Well, think about it like this. When it comes to Jesus, we have this love for him. Why is that? If we're really honest about it, apart from Jesus, here we are on a path to hell, and there's nothing we can do about it. And then the Holy Spirit works upon us, and he works through the Word of God, and he shows us that we are sinners, and he makes us sorry for our sins, and he shows us that we are helpless, and then he gives us the gift of faith by which we are now trusting in Jesus. And after all that work by the Holy Spirit and getting connected to Jesus and his work, now what is true? Now we're no longer on the path to hell. Now we're on the path to heaven. So how could we not love Jesus, understanding who he is and the great, difficult work he did for us in order to take away the sin of the world? So now that we love him, now we want to know more about what he said, and now we want to put that into practice. It's a natural thing that when we love him, we're going to have this desire to keep his commandments. We're in verse 22 now, and we have a question here from Judas. Now, this is not Judas Iscariot, but you might remember from last week, there were actually two apostles named Judas, so this is Judas, the son of James. Judas said to Jesus, "Lord, what has happened that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And then Jesus gave this answer. "If anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." So when we think about loving Jesus, well, through Jesus we are saved. Being saved, we have a whole new outlook on life. So we desire now to follow his word, to follow what he taught. And amazingly now, not only the Holy Spirit and not only the Son, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all taking up residence within us. This is like an awesome, awesome thing that God has done, that Jesus is telling us is true. Do we have to feel it to know it is true? No, because God has said it, we can know it is true. But we also have this division, though. So Jesus went on to say, "The one who does not love me does not follow my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So Jesus is trying to say something that's maybe hard to hear, but he wants to make sure the disciples understand, hey guys, this is not my idea. This is what the Father told me to tell you. We are in agreement with this. If you do not love me, then it's a very serious matter. So we could think about it like this. We have the opposites here. So those who do love Jesus, saved through him, they follow his words, they're indwelt by the triune God. Those who do not love him, well, they're not saved. They don't have any interest in following what Jesus taught, and they are not being indwelt by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's a complete difference, a complete opposite. Love is important, but really the love, though, comes from being united to Jesus, saved through Jesus. Think about the passage there in 2 Corinthians 5:15. It's talking about Jesus. It says, and he died for all that they who live. So you have to think about this. So he died for everyone, but only some people are spiritually alive through him. So, and he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So before we know Jesus, we are living our own lives and we're doing our own thing. But once God has brought us into his kingdom and made us his holy children in Christ, and we understand this awesome, many awesome things that God has done for us, now we have this desire to want to say no to our own ideas and yes to what God wants us to do, to live for Christ, to honor him in our lives. Now, do we do all that perfectly? By no means. Now, with what I just said, hey, that's the new nature. Oh, the new nature wants to do all that perfectly. Nope, none of that bad stuff, all good stuff. That's the new nature. The problem is we all have that old nature that wants to keep trying to pull us in the wrong direction. So there's always going to be this battle between the old and the new. How do we deal with that? Well, the way we deal with it is we feed the new nature by gathering like this, by hearing the Word of God, by reading it, by studying it. So we are building up the new nature, and that's going to help us more to live for Christ. That's going to help us more to say no to the ways of the world. May God help all of us to keep moving in that direction. Now, let's keep in mind, too, it's not how we're living that is saving us. But we always want to keep in mind, it's all because of the finished work of Jesus. That's the reason, knowing him, having a relationship with him, that's the reason why God will let us into heaven. And then it goes on here, talking about the Holy Spirit. So verse 25, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you while remaining with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. Can you imagine with the disciples, they understand that all these things that Jesus is saying over 3.5 years, hey, this is super important stuff. How much can they remember? Did they have a recording device? They didn't. So they're probably kind of getting nervous thinking, you mean you're leaving us? And how are we ever going to remember all these things that you told us? But can you imagine what a relief it was when Jesus told them, hey guys, don't worry about it. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you about everything. So it must have taken like such a burden off of them to know that. And then we come to kind of a famous verse here in John 14. Jesus said to them in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be fearful. It sounds great, doesn't it? Hey, just be at peace, everything is fine. But sometimes the world tries to grab that idea, and it kind of comes out like this. Hey, just smile, be happy, it's all going to be great. But that doesn't work though, does it? It sounds kind of nice, but it doesn't work. What Jesus is saying here, he is talking about these important objective realities. So really he's saying to us, your sins are forgiven. You are members of God's kingdom through me. Your lives are in God's hands, and we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are dwelling within you. Now, he could have said even many other important things, but with that whole list there, these are objective realities. the idea is all these objective realities, they become the foundation, and then from that foundation, we can have this feeling of peace. Now, we don't want to have the feeling of peace apart from these objective realities. That's going to be a false peace. But when our peace is based upon these amazing objective realities, then we have a true peace. That would be like over in Philippians 4, where it talks about the peace that passeth all understanding. So it doesn't mean life is good or life is easy, but what it means is we are founded upon these wonderful objective realities, and therefore, whether life is easy or whether life is super difficult, we can be at peace knowing these things are true. And then toward the end here, Jesus went on and said, you heard that I said to you, I'm going away. That means he's going to be physically dying. And I'm coming to you. So he's talking about coming to them in a greater way and dwelling within them. I am coming to you. And then he said, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. In a way, Jesus is kind of reminding them about some of the things he's already said, but also, too, he threw in there at the end that I'm telling you now, so when it does happen, then you will believe. The Bible is so important on the topic of prophecy. Now, when I use that word here, I'm not talking about speaking the word of God, like I mentioned earlier, but I'm talking about various prophets speaking or writing down different events that would happen in the future. Over 2,000 times in the Old Testament, God moved a prophet to speak or write something that would happen in the future, and over 2,000 of them have already come to fulfillment. None of us know what's going to happen in the very next minute, but God knows everything that will happen to the end of the world. God knows, and when God tells us in his word what's going to happen, how does God know? Is he causing all of it to happen? No, God is not bound by time. God has already seen it happen. For us, it hasn't happened yet. God is not bound by time. He's already seen it happen. So whatever he has said, we can be absolutely certain that that is going to happen. That is one of the primary reasons why I believe the Bible to be true. We have about 10 major religions in the world. No other religion in the world has a holy book with prophecy. So that makes the Bible so significant. Doesn't that help us understand so clearly that only the one true God would know what's happening in the future, and that he would tell us, and then it would happen? So the Bible is so important, and yet so many are lost because they are believing other things that are not true. So when the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to heaven, we should know for certain that is the case. So let's rejoice that we know that, that we are believing that, and let's pray that others would know it and believe it too, and have Jesus as their Savior. Finally, right at the end here, Jesus said, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. So this is all according to God's plan. Sounds like a bad thing. The ruler of the world is coming, Satan is coming, but this is all part of God's plan. And then Jesus said, he has nothing in regard to me. In a sense, Jesus was saying, hey guys, things are going to become really tough here in the next 18 hours or so. Hey, we're going to go to Gethsemane. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sweat blood. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be severely beaten. I'm going to be put on trial 6 times. They're going to nail me to a cross, and I'm going to lay down my life. They didn't know all that was coming, but Jesus is kind of warning them, hey, it's going to get super tough here. But he's saying to them, don't worry. Everything is under control. Everything is going to be okay. It might look like they are severely hurting me, But this is all part of God's plan. And then Jesus said, talking about Satan, he has nothing in regard to me, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. So when we think about us loving Jesus, we want to try to know what he said, and we want to try to put it into practice. That's how we show that we love him. What is Jesus saying? He is saying, I am the perfect Son of God. I perfectly love my Father in heaven, and I am doing always exactly what he wants me to do. That gives us an understanding of what it means to love. And now God wants us to so rejoice that we are so very blessed. And now that we would go forward and we want to know more about what Jesus taught and we want to put that into practice more. Not that that's saving us by any means, but that is a way to glorify and honor our great God who has made us, who loves us, who is taking care of us now and wants us to be with him forever and ever. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, as you loved the Father and gladly obeyed him, so help us to love you and gladly obey you. Thank you so much, dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for living within us. And all God's people said, Amen.